Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody that's put forth the effort to come out this morning. It is a pleasure to be in God's house this morning. It's a blessing to be here. We're glad you're here. I don't see any visitors, but if we are, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're here with us as well. At this time, if we could, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our worship time. Father, we do thank you again for the day you blessed us with. Thank you for life and strength and health. And Father, we just ask now that you would bless this time as we come to worship you. Help us to truly worship you today, Father. We pray, Lord, you speak to us from your word with our pastor. Help him as he stands and proclaims your word. And Father, we pray for the prayer requests that have been made in the classes this morning. We ask that your way and your will would be done in each circumstance, each situation. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross at Calvary. Thank you for the precious gift of salvation. And Father, I pray if there be a lost soul in this place this morning, Holy Spirit, please deal with their heart, convict them of their sin, show them their loss, show them that Jesus is the answer. We pray, Father, that today they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, have your way and your will in this place. May you be honored and glorified in everything said and done. In Jesus' precious and holy name I ask. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, it's another beautiful Sunday morning, and glad you made the effort to be out here. And I'd like to welcome all out in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot, let's sing a couple songs to the Lord, and let's start with number 182, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's all stand and sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to Savior. despise forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.
Okay, let's turn to page number 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
John chapter 6, and there is a
study guide. If you don't have one, raise your hand and we'll get one too.
I'm your choir this morning. Amen. Okay. Now, this is Brother Jimmy had introduced this song to me about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm a little slow. So, anyway, it took me this long to get here. But anyway, he had told me about it. And John Conley, he's telling me how good a job that he had done on it. It's written by Vince Gill, but me and him agreed once that I'd heard it that John Conley actually did a real good job. I ain't John Conley, okay? But anyway, I talked with him. That I said, well, you think that's one that can do in church? And he said, well, I see no reason why not. Ty loves bread and water. So we'll let you kind of be the judge of it. Side of
town. He really had no interest in salvation, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, "Man, I sure am hungry, but I don't have a penny to my name. Lord knows I haven't worked in a month Sundays. I'm dirty, dead, broke, and so ashamed. Bread and water, man, that's all I need. Bread and water and a place to rest my feet. I ain't too proud to get down on my knees. If the bread and water's free." She said, "You're always welcome at this table. Brother, you look like you could use a friend. And there's no need to pay if you're not able. For even Jesus was a homeless man." Of the word and started reading about the Savior and the woman at the well. Said, "It ain't for me to judge this life you're leading. There's only two things that can save your soul from hell. It's bread and water, man, that's all you need. Bread and water and a place to rest your feet. If you ain't too proud to get down on your knees, the bread and water's free." When he bowed his head, he kind of choked up. They spoke every word of our Lord's Prayer. He closed his eyes, never woke up. He'll find bread and water waiting there. Bread, get down on your knees. The bread and water's free. Bread and water's free."
Good job, brother. Children's Church, and if need a nursery, we've got a nursery worker as well. Praise the Lord, it's good to see all of you this morning. So thankful that you've made the effort to come out. We will be in the book of John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. And if you are a visitor today, we want to say thank you for coming and being with us. In the bulletin, you'll find a piece of paper that asks some information about you. You may not want to give out too much of it, but if you'll just simply write your name, we'll make a point of calling your name out in prayer this week a few times. But praise the Lord, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. There's a lot going on. A lot of people are going through storms today. Yes, brother. Ain't that awesome? Ain't that awesome? To God be the glory. There's a lot that's going on, and sometimes it just kind of feels like there's a heaviness hanging over us. As we know that some of our loved ones are going through difficult situations, our church family. But praise God, He's in control. He's in control. And like we studied in Habakkuk this morning, it's okay to ask questions sometimes, especially when you don't understand. What does He say in the book of James? If any man, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he won't hold back in giving it. So God bless you, and I pray that you've come today not only to receive something of God, but also to give something to Him. And what a wonderful Sunday we had last Sunday with Dr. Emmanuel and all of those that came from the Gideons. And I want to tell you something. He enjoyed himself here. He not only gave something, but he received as well. And then I want to say thank you also for the love offering that was taken up for the Gideons. It was just under $1,200. And all of it went to them when they left. So we give God the praise for that. As you're turning to John chapter 6, verse 15, those of you that's watching by Facebook or listening over the radio or in here with us, if you don't remember anything about today, remember that you're welcome. It's good to have you. But also that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And you know what? We'll never go wrong with focusing on Jesus. Like we were in our songs, what a friend we have in Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Focusing on Jesus is what our life is supposed to be about. I fall short in many, many areas. But praise the Lord today. Do we have any words of testimony and praise today? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? We'll lift him up. We'll lift up Jordan. Jordan Martin. Yes, ma'am. Good to see you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. And do remember all those that's dealing with bereavement and those that's dealing with COVID and all that kind of stuff. Amy's made it home. And both her youngest was alive when she got back. So it's a success. It's been a success. No, I'm cutting a fool. All right, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me this morning. We're on the fifth sign in the book of John. Jesus walks on the water, or the greatest of deliverers. Look there in John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus, and if you'll notice, we're beginning where we ended the last time, with the last miracle, remember the feeding of the 5,000? This is where it's ending and picking up in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain unto himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went, or they were right where they were supposed to aiming to be at when he climbed in with them. It was the right place to be. Verse 22, the following day when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whither into his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you today thanking you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your faithfulness that we've studied in our Sunday school today. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, that when I am weak and faithless, Lord, you've always been committed to me. I pray you forgive me of my sins and my failures. Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing that I'm inadequate to the session that's at hand. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and breathe in this place. And God, I just pray that we'll receive something that we can carry with us as we go. And Lord, again, I lift up those that are dealing with hard issues of life, the storms and the ups and downs. But God, you're the God, as the song says, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. And so God, today, let your presence be with us. We pray for other churches that you bless them. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Back on June 5th, we began a study on the seven miracles or the seven recorded signs in the book of John. And really, there are a few more there. And especially if we look in the other Gospels, we see that there's many others, such as the feeding of the 4,000. And then there's the in John, after the resurrection, we see that Christ Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, that evening, he walked in without even opening up a door in the upper room. But specifically what we found in the book of John, and we know that there are the I am statements of John, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am many things. But John's purpose is declared over in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through His name. Remember, we talked about how the book of John doesn't seem to be in too much of chronological order, whereas today it is, but there's some jumps and there's some time that passes away. Luke is probably the most chronologically correct because he's a Gentile and he writes more like we would instead of like the Jews. And we've talked about the idea of signs. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22, listen what Peter says about Jesus. Men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man pointed out to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you know yourself. This is when so many thousands got saved that day. And what an awesome thing is that Peter had his biggest failure about 50 days before that when he denied Christ, but God still used him and the birth of the Christian church. Remember, the miracle means the ability to perform miraculous or supernatural events. The idea of wonders means an action that inspires awe, that is awe-inspiring. And then we've looked at the word signs many times. It's an external picture that represents an eternal truth. The fact is that Jesus Christ just isn't able to speak to certain things or to cast out demons or to heal things, but he has control over natural realm. He's able to speak in the natural realm and it be so. But he's also able, as we look at these, we see a physical, spiritual truth that God is able to do or Christ is able to do. But then there is also a spiritual truth that we're to take along with us. It's a physical mark or an object intended to convey a clear message. Now we're on the fifth one. The first one was in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, when he turned the water into wine. And what we see here is that he didn't even have his whole entourage, his 12 apostles. He didn't even have them at this time. But what we see is an intimate wedding feast, and Jesus is an intimate and a personal Savior. He saved them from disaster. Hallelujah. And that's what we have as a personal Savior. The next thing was the healing of the royal officer's son in chapter 4, beginning in verse 46. Remember, this man traveled almost 25 miles, and when he got to Jesus, Jesus simply said, go back home, your son will live. The power of the Word. We see that Jesus has power in His words that can change the circumstances in our life. Then we see the healing of the lame man at the pool in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. Praise God, it says that this man had sat by that pool for 38 years or been lame for 38 years. Jesus wasn't yet 33 years old, meaning that while he was in heaven, this man was sitting at that pool. And hallelujah, Jesus was watching him. And praise God today, he's watching you and he sees you where you're at. And then the next thing is the feeding of the 5,000, and we see the great provider. Amen. Not only was he able to provide physical substance through the barley loaves and the little fish, and these were sardine type fish. These weren't big catfish type fish. These were little fish. But yet, not only was he able to produce the physical substance for them, he also is able to provide a spiritual substance for eternal life. And so then that's going to leave us after today looking at the healing of the blind man and the resurrection of Lazarus. But we're going to look today between these verses, walking on the water. Now, last week we talked about that was the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle you find in all five of the Gospels. But today, this miracle, the walking on water, not only is it in John chapter 6, verse 15 and following, and then it's also in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, but also Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. And it's like we're getting different perspectives. And so I want you, the more people you have that can give you information, if there was a car wreck and you could talk to three people or four people that were standing at each a different corner, you're going to get a fuller picture of what the reality was. And so today I want to read out of the book of Matthew, one, because the Word changes our life, not what I say, but the Word of God. And then also I think it'll give you a clearer picture. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples to get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after dismissing the crowd, he went up into a mountain by himself to pray. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came and turned. Jesus went up on a mountain. I'm going to start back in verse 23. After dismissing the crowd, he went up on a mountain to pray to himself to pray. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold on to Peter, and said to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got to the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at the setting, we're going to look at the situation, we're going to look at the solution, and finally, the spiritual truth. Those are the four things. Now, you don't have number four because I had to get this done before I finished my notes, so you're going to have to write that one in, spiritual truth. But let's just kind of get a picture of what's going on, okay? This is a day, you remember when we studied about the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus wanted to be alone to himself and alone with his apostles. Notice the setting in John 6, 15 through 17. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Now, the Sea of Galilee is very familiar. I mean, and the place that they were going to, Capernaum, was basically his place of operation during his ministry. But I want you to think about, as we're looking at this storm and Jesus walking on the water, the Sea of Galilee. Now, they were going from around Tiberias, which is on the western portion of the Sea of Galilee, and they're going up to Tiberias, or excuse me, they're coming from Tiberias, going north to Capernaum. lake itself, the Sea of Galilee, is around 12 to 13 miles wide, and it's about 6 to 7 miles long. Capernaum is on the top northern west bank, and Tiberias is on the southern bank. And so they've been out there all day. They've been out there cooking, teaching, and he's fed them, and this multitude has seen an awesome thing. And it tells us in verse 15, what did they want to do? They wanted to take him and to make him a physical king. And you know what? It would be awesome if Jesus had been king at that time, but he said, my time has not yet come. And if you read in the other versions, it specifically says that Jesus told his apostles to get in the boat and to go on without him. And some of the people I read behind believe that Jesus did this because he didn't want them catching that idea either. You remember that they asked him at the end before he went to the cross, when will you set up your kingdom, over in Matthew chapter 22. Sometimes what sounds like a good idea is not what God has in store for us. Good is not always godly, right? Good is not always godly. So he sent them out there. Now notice, if you look on the map and you look on the left-hand side of the Sea of Galilee, you're going to tell that the mountain range is a little bit higher than the sea itself. And the idea from what looking is that Jesus said, you go on down, you start going that way, I'll walk alongside, and when the time is right, you can just swing in, pick me up, and then I'll go the rest of the way with you. And so, but Jesus was up above them and looking down upon them. Hold on, I got my notes weird today. The situation, that, or the setting, I mean. Jesus Christ, remember, he said, I want to go and I want to be by myself. He couldn't do that. The ministry didn't stop that day. But as evening comes, Jesus said, I want you to leave me alone. I want time to be by myself. Now, you remember, there's basically two reasons why Jesus desired to have this time. The first one is because the disciples were just now coming back to him after they went out two by two. In Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 11, now he was going around in the villages recruiting, teaching. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the evil spirits. Now, if you look in Mark chapter 6, you'll see that they're returning to Christ. And then in John chapter 6 and Luke chapter 9, that they're going to give this report. But we see that the feeding of the 5,000 got in the way of that. And then also remember, John the Baptist has been beheaded. If you look in Matthew chapter 14 and Mark chapter 6, the account of what Herod had done is immediately before they meet up together in John chapter 6. So we see that probably, now I can't say for a certainty, but think about it. Jesus himself was probably physically wore out. He wanted to be alone by himself. He was emotionally wore out. Why? Because he had lost a cousin. He had lost someone he loved. Not only was it a family member, but John the Baptist was his forerunner that was announcing him into the world. But also, he was a great partner in the ministry. Remember, Jesus says, there's never been a man that's been like John the Baptist, except those that are the least in the kingdom. Praise God, what we see is this, is that the ministry does not stop just because we don't feel like it. The mission and the ministry doesn't stop. Do you think Jesus felt like dealing with people that day? Do you think the apostles wanted to deal? Hey, I'm telling you, if you've ever worked with public, once a day you're going to get frustrated with people. That's just the way it is. And that's a good day, amen? But listen, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and when he had sent them away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark chapter 6, verse 47, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was left alone. There's an old show, Are You Afraid of the Dark? According to USAtoday.com, 75% of children from the ages of 3 to 12 are scared of the dark. But now listen to this. Before COVID came, at least 11% of adults were scared of the dark. I cannot say that word that starts with an N, But you can pronounce it all you want to, okay, in any way you want to. But this is the thing. It's even worse now after COVID than it was before. And if you'll notice this, two times we read that it was now evening, and then in verse 17 it says, and it was now dark. The situation was the apostles were left in a place of darkness. They could not see what was ahead of them. Not knowing, darkness impairs our vision. It allows us to be unable to see what's coming. With the darkness, our anxiety increases, our uncertainty increases, and the tension and the weights that on us, whether you be 3 to 12 or 69 to 80, you feel that weight when you're in darkness and you can't see what's coming. And remember, we see the parallel between light and dark. John, in the beginning, chapter 1, he said, Jesus is the light of the world, but men love darkness other than light. Let me ask you, have you ever tried to walk around in a place that you didn't know in the dark? How about as a boy? I remember as a boy, see the darkness under the bed. You know, that's one of the most scariest things that you'll ever see. Matter of fact, you run fast from the door, and 4 feet from the bed, you jump to get on the bed because you don't want the boogeyman reaching under and grabbing your feet. And we'll laugh at that, but I'm going to tell you this. That as adults, we carry the same fears. The fear of the unknown, what we cannot see, what we cannot interpret. John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them. Again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of darkness. Folks, we're all appointed to seasons of darkness. You know that? And here's the thing. This blows your mind, but Jesus is the one who sent them into that darkness. Huh? Now that doesn't sound like something you're going to see on certain TV or commercials. But God had appointed this storm in their life. God allowed it. And we've got people, I can't help but think of Sister Nancy and Brother Danny and all that y'all are going through, but God is allowing it for a purpose. I don't understand it. But I know this, remember, while they were floating out there, He had a better perspective. He was watching over them the whole time. He was above them looking across the Sea of Galilee. And no matter how the storm came up, His eyes never came off of them, and they looked upon Him, or He looked upon them. And praise God today, wherever you're at and whatever you're going through, whatever the setting is, it might be dark. But hallelujah, with Jesus there is always light. The next thing, let's look at the situation. At the situation, John chapter 6, verse 18. Then the sea arose of a great sea, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. Now remember, it's about 12 to 13 miles from bottom to top, I believe it is, from where they were going. And it says that they set out when it was evening, that dusk was coming. And 25 to 30 furlongs averages out to about 3 to 4 miles. So basically, once they got halfway into the middle of the lake, not knowing whether to go ahead or to turn back, that is when the storm began to rise up and to beat on them and to hit on them. And I want you to think about this. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we know those four and probably others, they knew the Sea of Galilee. That's where they made their money as fishermen. They had been out there so many times that they'd probably seen the storms come up in ways that nobody else had ever seen. But even in the midst with those that are so good and even had a career, they didn't know what to do in the midst of this storm. And there's going to come situations in our life that we're not going to know what to do. We're not going to understand the situation. But hallelujah, we can trust in Jesus. And I know it's easy to say than it is to do. But isn't that one of the first things that happens when the darkness comes? and the storms begin to beat on us, what do? We begin to question the power and the purpose of God. And it's always been like that. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, what did the serpent do? He got Adam and Eve to question the truth of God. Jesus has said, I'll never leave you or I'll never forsake you. But when you're in the midst of the darkness, it's hard to remember those things. Think about how it is. Now, it's one thing when you're trying to maneuver through the darkness in your own house. Right? I mean, you kind of know the layout there. But then when you're in a place that you're unfamiliar with, and I've broke my toe in my own house bumping into something. But I even do it downstairs sometimes. This is how I'm going. I'm reaching my hands out and I'm shuffling my feet. And folks, that's the way we are in the darkness and in the storm sometimes. And then guess what? The one that they had counted on to get them through it, they didn't see him. He was not there with them. How does it feel? And you know what? We go by feeling many times and we feel like Jesus is distant. We feel like the Holy Spirit is not present in our life. I can't help but think about the sandals on the sea when they were two sets of footprints and then there became one set of footprint. And the one that was walking said, "Why did you leave me, Jesus?" And he said, "No, the one set of footprints are when I was carrying you." Hallelujah. Today, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Think about this. There's already been one storm. You remember that one? Over in the book of Mark chapter 4. It's when they went out to the sea. And remember it says Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, or he was in the bottom of the ship. And what did they do? The winds was raging, beating up on them. Jesus got up and said, "Peace, be still." He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. And what happened? They stopped. But then he said, "Ye of little faith." I want you to see what happens. The first storm, Jesus was with them in the midst of it. Then he sends them out to grow a little bit. And the second storm, he's not there with them, but he's watching over them. Do you realize that that's what happens in the storms of our life? The storms we've already come through, he was there with us. And now we're going through the next storm and we can't go by a feeling. We can't go by. We've got to know that we know that Jesus is watching over us. And no matter how we feel, he's promised to be our deliverer in whatever the situation is. It's an amazing thing how little we forget, right? I mean, I like to think that I would be spiritually inclined. You know, I mean, Jesus just took five pieces of bread and two small fishes and fed 5,000 men, probably anywhere close to 10 to 15,000 if you believe that they had their wives and their youngins there with them. But yet, and we know that they had seen other miracles. John, remember he said, "I couldn't record all of them," but we read in the others, the healing of Peter's mother, all those different things. But yet, when they got in the storm, and when things were dark around them, what happens? They begin to get afraid. Now, I can't see what's coming. I don't have the one with me. Or I feel like I'm all alone. And you know what else? It should be scary if you don't have Jesus in your life. You know that? If you don't know today that Jesus is your personal Savior, you need to accept Him. Because, not because I say so, but because the Bible says that He will not tarry long. There's not always going to be an opportunity for you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And praise God, I'm thankful today that it ain't what I do, but it's what He does that holds on to me. I'll show you something else. Usually it's in the darkest of hours that Christ does something amazing. If you look over in the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, it says that in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., and they're caught in the middle. Wonder what they're out there doing. Oh, I bet they're praying. I bet they're praying, but they also rowing. But they couldn't make any headway against what was going on. God was using this situation to grow them in their relationship with Him. Next thing is the solution. Notice it says that when they had rowed, John chapter 6, verse 19, about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I. Be not afraid. They willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, basically, they were stuck out in the middle. And when the time was right, Jesus came walking towards them. If you look, again, the Sea of God, he always had his eye on them. Like Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, Look at the birds of the skies. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more than they are? Aren't you worth greater than two birds? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their request, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In the darkest of night, in the most fiercest of storms, he sees us. You know what? Again, let's go back to the fact that it was Jesus who sent them out into the middle of this storm. You know what? Doing what Christ commands will often be scary. Right? Matthew is the only one that records Peter getting out of the boat and walking. Could you imagine how bad his heart was thumping when he put a foot over that? And we look down on him because, yeah, he does sink. I mean, yeah, he gets caught up in the moment. He focuses more on the sign than he does the sign worker. And he begins to seek and he reaches down. But I think about something else. What about all of the apostles except for the one who wrote this book? He lost his life. He was beaten. They were beaten, speared, filleted, all those things. It was nervous. Remember, Paul made the statement, I come to you in fear and trembling when I speak to you. What about Stephen? When Stephen was preaching the gospel and he said, You stiff-necked, stone-hearted. And they threw stones at him, but who did he see? He looked up to heaven and saw Christ sitting at the throne. God is calling us to do some things that are going to be scary. Living by faith doesn't mean you'll always be comfortable. Matter of fact, living by faith means most of the time you're going to be uncomfortable. Paul, what does it say about him? One, he was a martyr, but he was beaten, stoned, had shipwrecks, all this kind of stuff, but yet he trusted God. Even the night when the ship was going to wreck, he says, I have spoke to an angel. And it's going to be rough. The storm's coming. But none of us are going to die as long as we stay in the boat. As long as we stay in the boat. Notice something else. They got scared when Jesus was coming. You reckon we've lost that today? Huh? I could say that I believe Jesus could come back today and it wouldn't strike a bit of fear in most of them. But He's coming. He's coming. I tell you, I was as nervous as I've been in a long time this morning getting up in the pulpit. But notice, it said that Jesus, in I think it's in the book of Mark, it says that He would have passed them by. He was going to keep walking. But they called out unto Him and they received Him willingly. Notice he said, It is I. Don't be afraid. He came toward them walking on the sea. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. He came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass them by. But when they spoke and they received, they recognized who he was and they received him willingly. Let me ask you today, will you receive him willingly today? The first thing is, will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we've ever told a lie, we've broke the commands of God. But in the book of Romans, look what it says. 10 verses 8 and 9. On the contrary, what does it say? That the message is near, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Think about it. The storm was beating on them, but Jesus was but a word away. And same is true today. What does it say? The word is in your mouth and in your heart. Doesn't matter what you pray. Doesn't matter how you pray it. As long as you believe that you're a sinner, but you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that you're willing to accept His righteous life so that He has already taken your sinful life and left it in His tomb, never to be remembered again. But also, there's other things that Christ is speaking into our life. He's speaking purpose. He's speaking ministries. He's speaking that it's time for you to join Thomas Village or wherever you're watching. It's time for you to get active and back in church and quit living in fear. Don't let the darkness hide what God is promising. What truth today do you need to receive from Jesus? Is it as we go into number four, at our conclusion, the spiritual truth that we hold on to? Is it that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is it that you need to rededicate your life? Do you need to join Thomas Village Baptist Church? But I want you to notice something here in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 21. When they willingly received Him, look what happened. And immediately the ship was at land where they were going, or where they were going to. Basically, they got to Capernaum. Listen to the scripture, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that if I go away and prepare a place for you, then I'll come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I'm going. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Jesus Christ, as we look at this one, He is the greatest of deliverers. And in the storm, there's many ways that He can deliver. Go back to Noah. He didn't pull them out of the flood, but He kept them in the midst of the flood. Do you reckon while they were in it that they felt the waves hitting sometimes? Oh yeah, I bet they did. I bet sometimes it probably made them a little wobbly on their feet. But God said, I'm going to deliver you. And it was almost, the ark was almost like His hands wrapped around them and holding on. It might be like it is here in the storm that you're in, that when you recognize and you receive the truth that Jesus has in your life, He might just do something amazing. And He still works miracles. Whether it be through doctors and medicine, or whether it be through the Holy Spirit that works within us, He is still a miracle-working God. Or it might be like it was with Paul. Buddy, you're going to take every lick in the midst of this. Matter of fact, when it gets done, you're going to get bit by a snake when you think everything's all right. But He still kept His promise and delivered Him. You know what? Not every physical storm are we going to be delivered from. All of us, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But hallelujah, as the redeemed of Christ Jesus, that is the greatest of deliverances. Because it is our best life yet. So today I just ask you, what, as we think about the great deliverer, Jesus walking on the water, what spiritual truth? The spiritual truth is this: Christ wants to deliver you from wherever you're at, whatever's going on, whatever your problem is. He may not do it your way, you might have to go through it, but He says this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 13, verse 6. Therefore we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Sign number 5, Jesus walking on the water, coming as the greatest deliverer to his people who were in need. I'm going to ask the singer, song leader to come right now. And whatever's going on in your life, you don't have to tell me. God already knows. And I believe he spoke to some this morning. If you need to come and just be alone on the altar, what better place to be than on the altar of our Lord and Savior? Maybe you need to come and I'd like to let me pray with you, or maybe you want to join the church. Whatever it is, Jesus knows your need. Will you receive him today? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Holy Spirit, you do as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. And thank you for being with us. Do we have any words of testimony and praise before we go out tonight? We'll be at our service at 6 o'clock, and we'll be looking at the truths that are found in John 3:16. There's enough truth in that one verse to save all of humanity. And we'll be finished. We went through 4, and we'll be going through another 4 tonight. Anyone else before we go? All righty, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your word, and I pray that it do what you've said it would do. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and ask you to be with these people. Let your favor be upon them. Let your blessings be upon them so that they can be blessings to others. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Love y'all.